Oh God. Oh my God.
Okay, well, should we start it off with a little surfer suffer?
Surfer, suffer, surfer, suffer, surfer, suffer, surfer, suffer.
You guys were practicing that while I was walking my dogs, weren't you?
No, this is just straight natural quality stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Being in a cult is awesome.
Yeah, cults are great.
It's true.
Things have changed up there since I moved.
They're only getting better.
The cult of Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you guys will have like better skin than all those guys on the Australian beach.
Man, yeah, everyone looks pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, fucking when you live like 6 inches from the sun, yeah, your skin's going to look like a fucking old leather handbag.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I worked with someone from she's from Hawaii and she was older than me and the hands were the things that gave it away. Like her hands look ragged and then she had like a line, like the opposite of a sleeve tattoo.
Right.
Like that's where her wetsuit or whatever would start up.
Like the part of her that had been in the sun in Hawaii all the time was just wrecked. Like,
yeah. You look old as fuck.
It's like when you see a truck driver and their left arm is all fucked up.
Yeah. Oh man, I get driving tan like nobody's business. I used to a lot worse because I'd have to drive to Portland all the time.
Yeah.
A lot less time in the sun nowadays. Now I just live underground. It's pretty cool.
Mole people.
Like, I mean, those are your people, Nick.
Truck drivers or mold people?
Both, actually.
truck driving mold people.
There we go.
The common thread. Just
isolation.
I was going to say chronic masturbators, but
similar vibe.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nicks, oh my God, it's been wall to wall like Nicks and like
Nicks and Jicks.
Nicks and Jicks and Brads.
For the last like 2 weeks, it's just like every time I turn around, like y'all look alike. Oh, speaking of Jicks, my phone now autocorrects Nick to Jick.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Yeah,
as it should be.
Yeah.
So in case any of us forgot, we're here talking about Nicolas Cage's The Surfer, as this is Cage Match : a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage, where we used to take two Nicolas Cage movies, set them up against each other and decide what was the better one. But we're done with all that now. So now we're just talking about random Nicolas Cage stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You forgot that intro real fast.
It's amazing what goes out of your brain.
I haven't had to do it in a while.
That's true. And who are you?
Who are any of us?
I'm Nick.
I'm Sean.
And hi, I'm producer Peter. And we're joined with our cage dancer extra guest here, John, who got to see this movie with us in the movie theater, which was always a good experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you say regrettable?
No.
Give us a plot summary of The Surfer, John.
So Nick Cage is, I would call him an American, but he grew up in Australia, sort of.
His dad's way around. There. He's an Australian who grew up in America.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It's early. Where is it going with that?
Into the movie.
Yeah, right. The movie.
the surf plot line, right.
Anyway, so he decides he really wants to buy his dad's old house that he was, I don't know, in until he moved away, or to his dad. I don't remember exactly what
it was, like his grandpa's house or something. Like, okay. His grandpa built the house, I think, was the whole concept, which is why he really wanted it back. But
okay, yeah. But it seemed like he'd been working a long time to get that house, like it had been like a driven goal, right?
Yeah.
It's next to this beach where he used to surf with his dad, and he wants to bring his son there and surf with them and, you know, recreate his experience with his dad, with his son, right? As a lot of dads are wont to do. But there's a bunch of local Aussies there who basically say, you know, localism, you know, locals only, that kind of crap.
Don't live here. Can't surf here.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
Not bad. So they kick him off, but he is bound and determined to go surfing, I guess. Mostly just to fuck with those guys, it seems like.
Yeah, it seemed more principled after a certain level.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And he slowly, his obsession slowly turns into madness where he starts to question reality and who he is. Spoilers are fine, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Oh yeah. We're doing full spoilers in this one.
I was like, I've definitely never listened to this podcast. but in the end, we find out that the locals are actually led. Well, we know they're led by this guy who's like a cult leader is a tough way to put it.
Guru is a, yeah, I think good.
Yeah, there's like weird leadership, masculine, toxic masculinity guru asshat. Anyway, so it turns out that he's been actually grooming Cage the whole time and it's all been a test.
Of manliness, of will. Like, I can't, that was the part that I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then, oh, there's a homeless guy that comes back at the end and kills the bad guy. And then,
well, there's no and then after that. That's, yeah, it.
That's the end. And then credits.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good representation of the movie. I mean, I think that.
No, it's not.
Well, that was a good summary of the movie, at least. Like, that is what happens. I liked the descent into madness shit. I think that was the most well-executed piece of this entire thing. And, like, all the crazy Australian bugs and critters, like, cut in there. The kookaburra, like, laughing its ass off at him.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty nice.
I never got the lizard. Isn't there a lizard that popped up at least, like, two or three times?
Yeah, there's some kind of lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there were snakes.
So. Is Australia the one where it has the lizard that like shoots blood out of its eyes?
Oh, God, probably. I think so. Yeah. It is a hellscape.
It is a hellscape. Exactly. There's definitely that the spider like pedipalps.
Oh, yeah. That one was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The snake bit Nick Cage. I read.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Actually bit him.
So what did you guys just think? Like, what's your just quick like yay or nay? Like, did you enjoy this film?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. I get into, you know, movies that make me heightened anxiety and whatnot, or play on my heightened anxiety. And this did it. It was nice. It was nice to be, you know, uncomfortable and anxious. And
I didn't know how to prepare for this movie, but it is one that is like kind of stuck in my brain now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how soon I'm going to watch it again, but I would watch it again.
I liked the kind of visceral depiction of the elements that he was kind of left in. Everything from how the heat was affecting him, the dehydration, just some of the
poop water.
Yeah, the weird backdrops, the poop water, the barking dog, the when he woke up next to a condom and a crack pipe. That was pretty funny. It really kind of paints, you know, that coastal kind of disregard, that, you know, juvenile surf area very well.
Why did he take his shoes off in the bathroom?
He was just kind of generally cleaning himself up. Yeah, he had a bunch of sand in his shoes.
But he took the shoes off and then went and took a shit. Like, put your shoes back on, dude.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think you are, RFK?
That's how you get brain worms, man.
So I really enjoyed this film from like fucking start to finish. It was weird, but I had so much fun questioning reality along with Nicolas Cage this whole time.
Yeah, the way the scenes kind of depicting, you know, the past with his father, the future with the homeless guy, and then the current with Nicolas Cage really kind of did a good job of like bending your mind around like what is real, what isn't real.
Yeah, like
what's now, what are we seeing?
Right, like when that cop is fucking with him and is like, get back in your old beat up car, you know? Like,
yeah.
I told you to get this thing out of here.
And oh, it's my,
like,
God.
Is this actually his car?
This was gaslighting to like a fucking T. I love it.
So in the film, there is a homeless man who's walking around the parking lot where Nick Cage has parked his car, his like expensive car, because Nick Cage is in business, just generic businessman. Nice car, nice watch, nice suit. And there's this old homeless guy who's handing out flyers for his dead dog because he blames the lead surfer, played by Dr. Doom himself, Julian McMahon.
Yeah.
Scally.
Handing out flyers for his dead dog or his lost dog that Gally had apparently killed. And then, yeah, there's the scene in the bathroom where Nick Cage goes in the bathroom after spending the night in his car. I think his battery's dead. His car battery's dead. Takes his shoes off, gets the sand out, like takes his jacket off, like lays it on the sink and goes to like take a shit. The homeless guy comes in, like, drops something, hides something in the other stall, above the other stall, and says something like, it's yours now, and then like runs off. And then like we don't see the homeless guy again till the end of the movie. So Nick Cage's car gets like taken away. So all that's left is the old beater that he starts sleeping in. And it's a certain point I'm like, has any of this been real?
Yeah, it's a very,
very unreliable narrator.
Yeah. Tyler Durden feeling kind of situation. Yeah.
There's a good chunk of the film where I'm like, none of this, like, he's just been insane the whole time. This is just like,
yeah, he doesn't have a son, you know, none of this shit. Like,
yeah.
Have y'all read or listened to or seen American Gods? So there's that whole side storyline about he's a, I don't remember what he does. He like sells like tchotchkes or some shit, but then he ends up hooking up with like a taxi driver. And then wakes up and the taxi driver is gone and he's switched lives with the taxi driver. Oh, and also he is the taxi driver.
Is that the genie?
Yeah, the genie. But this, like, my mind went to that, you know, halfway through this movie or so. Not the case, though.
Nope. Nope. It's just a bunch of real asshole people fucking with a guy and making him feel crazy.
I love that the entire community is in on it, like straight up down to the poop bag lady.
Yep. Poop bag lady. Yeah. And then there's like the guy in the coffee line as he's walking away, he just knocks the coffee out. Coffee's for locals only. It's like, whoa, fuck everybody here.
Yeah, that was a good Glengarry Glenn Ross moment for me. Coffee is for closers.
Well, because like at that point, you're not sure if any of we've seen of Nicolas Cage is real. So they're just like, are they like they're just treating a homeless man terribly?
Yeah.
But he's also clearly
terribly or appropriately
dangerous and antagonistic to this community. So it really isn't until when he has his car and he's getting it jumped, there's this photographer, this woman is taking photos that he asked to help jump his car. They have a nice moment. They have a chat. She takes some photos of him. He sees her later and like approaches her. And I am so uncomfortable because I'm like, did that interaction ever happen? Is this real? Is this just going to be one of those like, is this going to be a Vampire's Kiss moment where he sees what's her name at the club, but she's never actually met him? But no, though, she remembers him and even has photos of him, which I don't remember the line, but it stuck with me. It's something along the lines of,
I have a car. I have a car.
I'm real.
I exist.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, so no, they are just fucking with him. Just,
I love that what they wrote on the side of his car was just like kook.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I fucking roasted him.
That may be like some big slur.
Yeah, it's like the worst thing you can say in Australia.
we're about to get
this podcast removed from Australia on the internet.
No, both our listeners.
You don't have two listeners in Australia.
We don't have a single listener in Australia.
Yet.
In Australian slang, a kook refers to someone who is perceived as foolish, strange, or eccentric.
Well, that's just fucking everywhere.
Yeah, that's the same.
Cool. I like that they wrote it in like surfer wax, like surfboard wax. Yeah.
It's often used to describe a surfer who lacks skill.
Oh,
so there is some context. Burn. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the actual like breakdown, freak out, running to the beach scene.
There at the end,
leading up towards the end. Yeah,
so okay. Well, it all begins when he catches a rat and fucking whacks it off onto the car, stuffs it in his pocket. Mm-hmm. And
pocket rat for later.
Uh-huh. Gotta have a pocket rat.
That was my thought, like pocket rat, smart.
Yeah. good to have. Way to be.
You gotta keep your resources tight when you're homeless.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't immediately pocket it. He chucks it into the bush and then goes retrieves it later when he's looking for food.
Yeah, then it's been sunbaked.
Yeah.
Which he did like take a good bite out of it too before he pockets it.
Dry aged?
Test it for quality.
There you go. Yeah.
Wet aged.
Gross.
That's not a thing.
Wet aged meats. Rotting.
Yeah. But then he gets like, oh man, he does get some good hits on that one dude who.
Well, he beats up those teens kind of on the way down.
Well, yeah.
He like shoves them out of the way.
They had it fucking coming.
And then I love that he uses the locals only sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And just smacks that dude who headbutted him or whatever earlier. That was good. That was a good little tussle.
Is that guy's name like Beef or something?
Beefaroni. Yeah.
I hope his name was Beef. But yeah, then he gets sort of indoctrinated into this group and it's all revealed, right? Like, yeah, we've been fucking with you. And I love that scene where he's just looking up at them and it's like all wavy and he's just, ha ha, good one.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's not, like, he's on the drug trip and it's the guy who's like, he almost drowned and shoved the rat in his mouth is works for the bank and is going to get him his loan.
This movie's fucking weird.
It is very bizarre.
Truman Show-ish, sort of.
Yeah.
It's during the drug trip scene. I think Nick will get this. I don't know if Peter or John, you'll understand the reference, but I've been watching a lot of Auntie Donna lately, just going back down that rabbit hole. Been watching Auntie Donna's Coffee Cafe, which is the most Australian thing I've ever seen. But during that drug trip scene, where it's just like quick faces going around, I half expected to see like the Auntie Donna crew and just like, here, Auntie Donuts. And I'm like, this would be a great, that was a great bit. This was awesome. That was a great, like, hour and a half joke. It's a very specific reference that very few people will get, but that's enough. Where I was at in this film.
Well, our Australian listeners will know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this film, after the drug trip, after, like, it's shown that they've just been, like, they've been toughening him up, he, like, we cut to the next day after the, and he's got his own like fucking snuggy, like sun poncho.
I love the fucking terry cloth.
Yeah.
Fucking slankets.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like part of their crew now, but he still can't surf until he proves himself and has to like burn the old guy's car.
Who was an actual real person.
Yeah. Well, 'cause at that point we like, his car has been returned and like everything's okay.
Yeah. They just had it at the shop tuning it up.
Yeah. And his son shows up right after they light the car on fire. The son seems kind of like disturbed for a second, but quickly is on board. 'Cause
I don't think the kid was on board. I think he was in a situation where it's like, oh, my dad's part of like some wild cult. He's been missing for days. It's Christmas. And now here he is burning somebody's car in front of them.
I'm just saying the kid had the option to just nope out of there and be like, oh, we're going to talk later.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole recurring question I had the whole movie too, is why doesn't Nick Cage nope out of there? Like where, like, I understand he's obsessed, but at some point.
Well, they take his car like after the second day. It's not like he's there that long before they take his car.
I mean, he could have walked sure.
They allude to it when he's watching, like when he's doing his background check on Scally. It's like some monk thing, like initiation, where it's like, oh, you have to stand at the gates for 7 days and seven nights. And, you know, no matter how many times they deny you entry, you have to stay there and this and that to become like indoctrinated. So it was just that situation taken away from, you know, its original context and then placed into what was happening with this surf crew.
Yeah.
So if he had left, he never would have been able to have the house. He never would have had the beach.
I think also at that point, he's starting to become dehydrated and like not getting food.
Losing it. Yeah.
Do you think all the bugs that flew on the actors' faces were real? Or yes. CGI'd in there.
It's Australia, man. Everything is like that all the time.
It's amazing how little reaction anyone gives as a fly just like fucking hits you in the cheek.
Yeah.
You know? Lands on your eyeball.
Yeah, right.
Was this just actually like, filmed in Australia?
I would think so. That's a great question.
Just a beach.
Yeah, it could just be a beach.
It seems odd to like not film in Australia and have like an entire Australian cast.
Well, it's interesting because the director's Irish, so...
Yeah.
The community known for their surfing.
Yeah, they are fucking great surfers. How those Bay Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Galway Bay Boys.
One of the things that I picked up on and was really sad didn't pay off was fairly early in the movie. Nick Cage asks his son, he's like, hey, what are you guys doing for Christmas? Or you're coming to me for Christmas Eve and then going with your mom for Christmas, negotiating the whole, dual custody thing. And he's like, no, we're going to a barbecue for Christmas. And then shortly thereafter, the surfer dudes are having a barbecue down on the beach. And I'm like, oh, no way. Is she dating Scully or some shit? Right. There's also mention of a new beau. And it never paid off. And I was so sad. That would have been to be fucking Scully.
That would have been great. It would have added to the mind fuckery, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You brought up the terry cloth robes. I thought those were kind of fun.
Yeah,
obviously
I do want one now so I can just walk around the house. And
it's like the least manly looking thing for like the manliest character.
It's kind of a moo-moo. Again, I think it's I think it's more for UV protection and like staying out of the sun.
It's for religious iconography, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's practical uses for it, but it's fun to say it looks like a silly poncho.
Yeah. And then Nick Cage gets his own.
Yeah.
At the end.
It reminds me with like the hood and everything of my dog's bathrobe.
Yeah.
Because it's just a little hooded bathrobe.
Oh.
Made of towel.
Why don't we just call them towel robes? It's the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good question.
I mean, they're not all made of terry cloth. Some are very plush, like the ones you steal from hotels.
I know, but the ones that are made from terry cloth, why is there a different word for terry cloth, I guess is what I'm saying.
Because the English language is awful.
Yeah.
Not the worst.
I'm going to start doing that, though.
Terry cloth robe on the beach?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to go grab my terry cloth sheet after the shower.
Good.
Oh, pillowcase sheet.
I just looked at the director's name, and yeah, that is the most Irish name I've ever seen.
Yeah, Lorcan Finnegan.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Lorcan Finnegan.
Super Irish.
Oh, man. I bet he was dying out there on that beach.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
But yeah, for real. All right. So, yeah, where would you guys put this on the new Cage movie echelon?
Oh, it's certainly better than any of his westerns.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
we're just not going to talk about those anymore.
I'm going to bring them up as a reference point to like the lows and then,
lows.
Yeah, the lows and the more lows.
Yeah, no,
it's good. It's up there. I'm trying to think of
it's along the lines of like Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
Like dream tension scenario. And
dream scenario,
like know. Whatever the questions of what's going on.
Yeah, sort for
of
sure. Thing.
That was the film I was thinking of where I'm like the third act I felt just completely fell apart with the dream scenario when they just became influencers and people were like incepting ads into people's dreams. I'm like, this is dumb. This wasn't earned. As opposed to this film when like he's less crazy, when you find out he's not crazy and then like it just kind of ramps up to the homeless guy killing everyone. I'm like, nah, this was earned. This was good. But yeah, I'd put this up there as one of the highlights of the new era of Cage. And I feel like I was thinking of it when I thought he was insane. I'm like, it really hasn't been since like Vampire's Kiss where we've seen him like actually go crazy like this, like play a character who's actually insane.
Yeah, the Roger Ebert review of this one kind of touched on that too. And his final takeaway was you should just go watch Vampire's Kiss instead of this if you want to see like wild ass Cage. But he was like, but still, it's an interesting performance.
Whose review of this?
Roger Ebert. Of like Siskel and Ebert fame from forever ago.
Yeah.
Isn't he like, dead?
Siskel's dead.
I thought Ebert died.
Ebert is actually just AI at this point. I don't know.
It has to be because he had a massive stroke a while back.
Well, he did it, but I mean, you can still be successful and perform if you have a stroke.
No, but I thought he died from that stroke.
Roger Ebert is definitely alive.
Are you holy thinking shit. Of Gene Siskel?
Yeah, I think you might still be thinking of Siskel.
No, I'm not. I remember his massive stroke. I thought he died during it. I thought he died from it. Nope, I'm just wrong.
Yeah, Ebert's still
around. I was just more shocked to find out someone I thought had been dead for a decade is alive. I'm just excited. Well, it's also
like, I don't remember when Siskel and Ebert were on, like mid-90s. Yeah. So, and like, he felt like an old man to me because I was 12 or whatever.
People just used to age poorly.
Like Nick pointed out long ago, indoor smoking was a real thing.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself. I still age poorly.
Get some melanin in you.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
There you go. Way to fight the man.
Wait. Sean?
Well, big melanin.
We're coming for you.
You didn't realize this was a conspiracy, right?
Big melanin is definitely a nickname for somebody.
That is the big fear in our government right now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not wrong.
All right. Well, John, do you want to put any final thoughts on this one?
I mean, I really enjoyed this movie. I fully intend to watch it again, maybe 6 months or so from now, and see how my opinions changed. I mean, yeah, I put this up there. I liked it better than Dream Scenario. It was a little more coherent. Yeah, I would highly recommend anybody go see this, even if you're not really into Nick Cage, but, you know, and want to mind fuck for, mm-hmm. you know, hour mm-hmm. and a half.
I liked watching it in a movie theater, mostly because I got to eat popcorn and a hot dog.
Oh, I ate way too much popcorn.
I did too. Yeah.
I had popcorn farts for the rest of the day. It was really unbearable for some people. I was fine with it.
You were fine, I'm sure. Yeah.
I got
Sean, did you have any other human beings in your watching of it?
Yeah, no, it was we had it was half full. I went to the Hollywood. Damn. Yeah, and I mean, it had been out for like a week at this point. I went and saw it at the Hollywood Theater here in Portland. Got in for free. That was fun.
Because they knew about the podcast?
kind of, yes. It's mostly volunteer run, and the woman who was working the box office, her and I went on a date months ago. I had fun. So she recognized me. She's like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, I'm here for the Nick Cage. She's like, yeah, it's like, she's just like, go on in. I'm like, cool.
Hell that, yeah.
That, oh, sounded.
Yeah, not.
Oh, it's you. Oh, was big melanin, huh?
Oh, man. Yeah, cool. Well, any other final thoughts or are we all good?
I like Poop Bag Lady.
Poop Bag Lady. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's your favorite hooligan or kook?
I mean, Twitchy was pretty cool, the coffee guy.
Yeah.
Also, not kooks.
Yeah, that's true. Because they're good surfers.
The one who gets his like face rocked and like drowned and
the bank manager,
rat mouth. Yeah. The bank Beef. Manager. Yeah. Beef. I like his silly little Santa hat.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the beefiest dude there, just wearing this goofy ass Santa hat.
Ooh, wait, we have another seasonal Nick Cage film we can watch now. We have another Christmas Nick Cage film we can watch.
That's true. Yeah.
It is a Christmas film.
We no longer just need to watch Lost in Paradise, Trapped in Paradise.
There was The Family Man too.
Yeah. Both of those movies are bad.
Well, The Family Man's not.
The Family Man has some merit.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's not fun though.
No,
it's not.
It does have what the fuck's his name? Ari, the guy who plays.
Yeah, fucking. God damn it! I was just talking about him with PCU. He's the dean from Old School.
He got mercury poisoning one time because he ate sushi like twice a day for a week.
Whoa!
Oh, wow, that sounds exactly like something a guy who looks like him would do.
Correct,
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah, Jeremy Piven.
Yeah. Yeah, mercury poison for Piven.
There was a guy in my dorm freshman year who was eating tuna sandwiches like 4 or 5 times a week, and he would go through wild mood swings, and then eventually we're like, dude, you need to stop eating so much tuna fish. And then he did, and he became almost normal again.
Whoa, wow, that's fucking wild.
But he would put barbecue sauce in his tuna, so it was tuna and barbecue sauce. That's so weird.
When I was into bodybuilding, you have to have a lot of like lean protein, and it doesn't taste great, but a little bit of barbecue sauce goes a long way.
Interesting.
So it's a good way to make things palatable.
He wasn't a bodybuilder. I think he was on the baseball team, but I don't know. I suspect he was one of the guys that crucified the bat, because at some point I came home from class or work or something. And it was, I came home from a show. It was late at night. And they had caught a bat and crucified it on popsicle sticks.
Okay, stop. You were talking about baseball, and then you went to crucifying a bat. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That was a weird leap.
Oh, hold on. The best part. They put pennies in the test buttons of bug eyes, the emergency lights, to like make them stay on, and refocused it onto the bat. And it was just in the hallway when I came back. I'm like, I'm not even the weirdest person here. Like, I'm not the one doing the weird fucked up shit. This is so good. I love college.
Oh, one thing I saw when I was reading about this morning, I was slipping through the IMDb and saw what the homeless guy actually looks like. And he's like, I don't know, a 25-year-old, very attractive, like.
What?
Yeah.
Like, is he currently 25-ish? Or
the picture on his IMDb, like he was, I was like, whoa, they really changed that guy over. But fair. It might be
an old photo.
Because you can put whatever photo you want up.
Wait, are you telling me IMDb is going to catfish me?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They have catfish in Australia?
No, catfish don't kill you enough.
Yeah, probably something deadlier.
Yeah.
Like lionfish.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicholas Kassim, the bum. I mean, he looks our age.
Really? Well, I don't know. I was walking down the street. Maybe I wasn't paying attention too hard.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
All right. Date of birth.
You got to pay more attention when you're a pedestrian, dude.
Yeah, right.
You're going to get run over.
Yeah, die.
Where does
something.
IMDb, like, give you their age?
I mean, you just have to look at their birth year.
I'm not seeing.
And then math.
And then math, yeah.
I don't want to do math.
Yeah. Or you could have copy and pasted his name.
This is right back to Sean went to art school. He's not doing math. Yeah,
no mathing going on here.
We could draw you a picture of the year that he was born and figure it out from there.
Visual clues.
Actor Nicholas Kassim, known for Mr. In Between, 2018, The Outlaws, and a few Best Men. Nothing's giving me his age.
Hmm.
Weird.
Well, he might go see The Surfer.
Have a birth certificate.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicholas Kassim, the actor known for his role as Bruce, was 93 years old when he passed away. Now, this is.
That seems like not the right guy.
The moment's gone.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Our Patreon support has changed, and I don't remember who is actually supporting us anymore. So thank you to our supporters that I will loosely edit. Josh, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, and Bill, our Sparkle Buddies, and our Cage Dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, Nathan, and Cameron.
Are you just
I forgot Stuart. Stuart's also in there. Stuart.
Are you gonna just quack out the names that aren't supporting us anymore?
Yes.
Perfect. That seems like the most appropriate way to do it.
Yeah.
You do it in the same order every time, so everybody knows who it was.
Exactly. Like, oh, I can't believe that they're not supporting anymore.
Yeah.
When was The Surfer filmed?
Oh, I don't know. I would guess 2 years ago. I mean,
yeah. All right.
Are you still trying to figure out how old that guy is?
Yeah. Bugs me.
Bye bye.
Eat the rat. Eat the rat.
Bye bye.
Sean, do you just have a bowl of M&Ms next to you?
No, that's my dog's ball pit.
Oh, fucking awesome.
Perspective is fun. That's probably a lot bigger than it appears on the screen.
Yeah.
No, yeah. His ball pit is roughly the size of a bowl of Cheerios.
No, you can see Ben standing next to it. Ben's there for scale.
Yeah.
Not as good as a banana.
That's right.
My favorite one of those is a guy was like, holy shit, it's so cold in Florida or whatever that my pool froze. And you can't tell when you look at the picture because it just looks like glass. And so he puts his guitar on a guitar stand on the pool and goes, guitar for temperature.
Yeah, nice.